ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
महाभाव गुणकर्म विभाग गुणा गुणेश वर्षन इतिमज्ञा न सिद्ध्यते। इसे तत्वित्तु वन इज अनोर ऑफ द ट्रुथ। वॉट डज ही डू? ही नोज द डिफरेंशिएट बिटवीन वॉट इज वर्क इन डिवोशन एंड वॉट इज वर्क दैट विल बी रिजल्ट। बिकॉज वन हू इज अ नॉलेज दैट विल ट्रुथ सो माइटी आर्म्ड डज नॉट एंगेज हिमसेल्फ इन द सेंसेस and sense gratification, knowing where the differences between work in devotion and work for positive results. So, the work in devotion and work for positive results may apparently appear to be the same. We were given the example of Arjuna. Arjuna fighting and Duryodhana fighting, it appears to be the same. They have chariots, they have swords, they have diamond arrows. This work in devotion, like what we do and what our materialist outside does, it looks very similar. But what is the difference? That's a bit can very clearly differentiate. The lawyer of the truth. So you can clearly get this name for Krishna. It is Krishna's service. And the other work done by a materialist, that is what people do work to the aim of some gratification. It is guna gunesh vartanta here. Gunagunesh vartanta means the senses are engaged in sense gratification. You clearly understand when the materialist is doing the work. So a devotee never does such type of work. That means a devotee will be extremely careful to constantly analyze himself whether this activity is meant for Krishna service as for my sense gratification. Many examples can be given. Sometimes the devotees like to hear some Western music. They must be coming from the background where they have been hearing a lot of Western songs. So here after coming, we want to hear Hare Krishna and Western. Of course, it's a controversial topic. Somebody may say, I feel great devotion when I hear that Hare Krishna Western music. But that's leading our devotion, whether we don't know whether it's a devotion or some gratification. It's really questionable because sometimes that's the type of songs which are sung in some particular cinema tune. One is reminded of that old tune. In fact, one goes back to the old, back to the video that he says in his mind before. So in Krishna consciousness, we should be very, very careful not to get trapped in the sense gratification things. So it is very clearly analyzed. This is meant for sense gratification. Like one example, Duryodhana Maharaj was telling one of his lectures, he was saying there was a sannyasi in his town. So whenever, so he was very attached to eating sweets. He liked sweets very much. Especially gulab jamun and rasagulla. He was very much want to eat that. So when Mahaprasad would come out from the basic kitchen, he would tell the Dumadari, so Dumadari, go and get that. I want to honor Mahaprasadam, he would say. So get the gulab jamun, I want to honor. So that is his what intention. And it's just an answer. With what intention you want to honor Mahaprasad? So somebody comes and gives you, oh, you want Mahaprasad, please take some dal. Dal, you will not want to honor it. You want to honor only gulab jamun. So in the same way, even within the stream of devotional service, one has to very carefully observe whether one is gratifying one senses or one is praising Krishna. Really, what is it? It's an almighty armed, such an order ability. He does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work in devotion and work for positive results. So Prabhupada makes one very significant statement here. He says, the knower of the ability to convince of his awkward position in material association. So know that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And his person should not be in material creation. This is actually the consciousness of a tattva-vit. I know it as actual literal. Of course, actual meaning of tattva-vit means one who knows Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. One who knows all the three aspects is called as a tattva-vit. But also, such a tattva-vit actually realizes that I am an awkward person. That Jagannatha offers a prayer, it's when he sees himself in awkward position, nobody can say. What is a prayer? Ayananda Tanaja Shankara. Alakinada prayer? We'll get that together. Ayananda Tanaja Shankara. Satipannam Vishame Bhavam Vira. Kutayata Vatara Pankaja. Kutadeva Chadrasham Vishantaya. He's praying. Now that Ayananda Tanaja Shankara. Satipannam Vishame Bhavam Vira. I'm fallen down into this ocean of messianism. Please pick me up and place me as one of the millions of atoms at your lotus feet. This is the mode of a devotee. He is called as a tattva-vit. But on the other hand, what is the consciousness of a level-based soul? That Krishna brings in the next verse. Patkute gunatam moda sajjante gunadharmato. He completely engages in sense spiritual activities. Sajjante means engaged. Completely engaged. Prakriti guna samuda. Completely bewildered by the three modes of material nature. Sajjante guna karmato. Guna karmato means karma means activity. Guna karmato means activities in the three modes. Tana Krishna Vidyananda Krishna Dhinna Vichaliye. Here Krishna says, but the wife should not answer them. Although these duties are inferior due to the performance, lack of knowledge. So here Krishna says, some people, they are bewildered by the modes of material nature, they ignorant, fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. So this is the condition of the ignorant people. Those are conditions. Of course, the devotee may also be conditioned in the beginning stages. But the devotee begins to understand, this is sense gratification, this is Krishna service. And gradually he wants to come out of sense gratification. Remember I was telling you, three modes are pulling on one direction and who is pulling on the other direction? Krishna is pulling. Krishna is the devotee. They are pulling on the other direction. The devotee is gradually coming out of the three modes. And at one point of time he becomes free from the three modes. Vaikunda Vijaya Veda, Vaikunda Tadartana. Whereas this ignorant person, he doesn't know what are the three modes, how they are acting on him. He just ignorantly is engaging in sense gratificatory pursuits. But what does Krishna say? The wife should not answer the Dhamma. He says, but the wife should not answer the Dhamma, although his duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. Actually, what Krishna means here is that if we try to start somebody engaging in materialistic activities, he may become entangled in more further abominable activities. Like for example, in the earlier shlokas we said, Yoshiya Sarva Karmani. Krishna says that they should be, their action should be joyful with them. For example, Narada Muni, when he met Valmiki for the first time, Valmiki was extremely sinful. In fact, he was so sinful that he could not utter the word Rama. That word he could not utter? All of the rebels utter. I think he was more sinful than all of you. All of us here, he was so sinful. So Narada told him, you are not fit to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why he worshipped the God of Death. He chanted what did he say? Mara. So Mara Mara he told him. That was very easy for him to chant. Mara, because he has been killing so many animals in the forest. So he chanted Mara Mara Mara. But one special attribute of Valmiki was that he had complete faith in the instruction of Narada Muni. So he chanted Mara Mara gradually. He became purified and he became a great devotee of Ram. So much so that he got empowered to write Ramayana. So in this way, the great acharyas, following this vedanta, they don't try to take out such conditions towards out of their regular activities. It's not possible. They don't try, like earlier after Krishna told something similar, isn't it? That was it. So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the specific results of such duty, the learned person should not induce them to start work. Rather, by working in spiritual devotion, they should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So you can give many examples like this. Even Prabhupada, also when he went abroad, he met so many people like that. There was some David. You know David? David was, he was staying with him in his home. So that predator was stolen, and David started consuming drugs. He became crazy, he started shouting. And that had thought that there may be a threat to his life itself. And he had come for a great mission. So he left the place, and later he came and he went to Bowery. So, in this way we see that the devotees of the Lord are even more merciful than the Lord himself. Why they must serve the Lord? It's proper right in the purpose. When we ask, Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita that we should not disturb the minds of those people, then let them go to hell. Why should we bother about them? If they don't want to surrender, if they don't want to become devotees, why should we go and preach them? Let them go to hell. One can say like that, isn't it? And one can continue with one devotional service naturally, at once. But the few devotees are so compassionate, Tukshava, Karunika, they are very tolerant. They are extremely merciful. Sivridhasarvadeshanam, they are the well-wishers of every living being. So they are ready to take any amount of risk in their life, to the extent of even giving up their life, if that is what is needed for delivering the suffering prayer of this world. Jalatmara prayed a very beautiful prayer when he started the Dasanam Narsimhadeva. He said, ಯದಾಯ ನಮಃ ಮೃತಮಾತ್ಮ ಚಿತ್ತೇತೇಂದ್ರಿಯತ ಮಾಯಾ ಸುಖಾಯ ಪರಮದ್ದೇ ವಿಮೋಧಾನ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿಗೆ ಐ ಆಮ್ ನೆವರ್ ಅಜಿಟೇಟೆಡ್ ಮೈ ಲೈಫ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ತರಕ್ತಿಯ ವೈತರಣ್ಯ ಕ್ರಾಸ್ ದ ರಿವರ್ ಆಫ್ ವೈತರಣಿ ಇನ್ನು ವೈತರಣಿ ದ ರಿವರ್ ದಟ್ ಸೆಪರೇಟ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಮಹಾವಿಷ್ಣು ಇಸ್ ಲೈನ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ ವೈತರಣಿ ಸೊ ಇಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಹೌ ಆರ್ ಐ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಕ್ರಾಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೈತರಣಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಎಂಟರ್ ಇಂಟು ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಐ ನೆವರ್ ಬಾದರ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಓವರ್ ದ ಬಾದರ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ನಾಟ್ ಎನಿ ಆಫ್ ಯುವರ್ ಇಸ್ ದರ್ ಎನಿವನ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವೆರಿ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಟು ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವೆರಿ ಗಿವನ್ ದಿ ಹಿಯರ್ ಟುಡೇ But he says, I'm not worried about how I'm going to return to Vaikuntha. Why would you be a Karadurakya Vaikaranya? That is the reason. The reason is, that Virya Dayana Mahamrita Bhakma Chitta. Virya Dayana means, I am constantly absorbed in the victims of the songs of their glory. Because of being absorbed in that, I don't have to worry about going to Vaikuntha. Because Vaikuntha is the same thing is going on. Vaikuntha devotee is singing your glories. Here in my mind, constantly your glories are going on. So I don't have to worry to go to Vaikuntha, he says. That is why, but I am very much lamenting about something. Shashi, I am very much worried. But Vimukha Cheta Satindriyata. Vimukha Cheta means one who has turned his mukha, I realize this from the last mukha. Vimukha Cheta. One whose consciousness has turned away from you, ಶೋಚೇತತೆ ವಿಮುಖಚೇತತೆ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯ ಅರ್ಥ ಸರ್ವಾಟಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಮಾಯಾ ಸುಖಾಯ ಭರಂ ಉದ್ಗ್ರಹತೋ ವಿಮೂಢ ಇದೆ ಮಾಯಾ ಸುಖಾಯ ಭರಂ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಕ್ಯಾರಿಂಗ್ ದ ಹೆವಿ ಲೋಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಮಾಯಾ ಆನ್ ದ ಶೋಲ್ಡರ್ಸ್ ಸ್ಟಗ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆರ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ವಿಮೂಢ ಫೂಲಿಶ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ಡನ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಗೆಟಿಂಗ್ ಉದ್ಗ್ರಹತೋ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಗೆಟಿಂಗ್ ಅಜಿಟೇಟೆಡ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ದ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನ್ ಆಫ್ devotee. When he's feeling great pain and suffering in his heart, when he sees such suffering souls, and he wants to deliver them, as the Lord says, don't go and disturb them. Three devotees say, let me try. Let me go and try. Somehow he will become your devotee. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu became especially in this age to lead customers to the fallen suffering souls. When Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur used to go out to preach, of course, they would make everyone devotees wherever they would go. But one time Nityananda Prabhu got a strange idea in his mind. He thought, I am making people into deities very easily, but if I find out the most fallen person in the world, I make him a devotee of Lord Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become very famous all around the world. Then people will easily accept his mercy. So Nitanta used to always sing, Gajagaranga, Kajagaranga, Gajagaranga, Ranamre, Yoganagaranga, Dade, Sivaya, Maritanare. He could sing, Gajagaranga, chant the name of Lord Gauranga. He takes the name of Gauranga. So he would say, Yogana Gauranga Bhaja Sahai Amara Swamire. One who chants the name of Lord Gauranga, they become my life and soul. So this is the thing in the street. There are two Russian named brother and mother. In fact, he used to appreciate the chance of the Vaishnavas. That was one of their positive attitudes. Although they were very great Russians, there was no sin that was not done by them. All kinds of abominable activities they had done. But they appreciated Vaishnava singing. Sometimes even while in a drunken state, they would appreciate. Vaishnava singing is very sweet to hear. Like that. So later on, it's a very long pastime. But Nityananda Prabhu goes to the extent of meeting these two people and begging them to chant. He is very much forcing them to chant the Lord's name. He says, at least once you chant. Then Jaya Mother becomes angry. And my mother takes the pot and throws on the temple of his brother. And it starts bleeding. So Nityananda fell on the ground. So sir was bleeding. Do you know what he said? He said, Jaya Mother, I am not feeling great pain because of my bleeding brother. But I am feeling a greater pain that you are losing the opportunity to chant the Lord's name after having achieved the human form of life. How unfortunate it is. This is what is good. This is the penalty of compassion. So this is the nature of any pure devotee. He sees a very great compassion. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, immediately he invoked Sudarshan Chakra to amputate the heads of Jagan and Madhav. To look at the breakdown. He called the Sudarshan Chakra. But who does for Arjuna? The temple of himself. He told the Lord that in this Kali Yuga actually you should use the weapon of your holy name to deliver the people. If you are going to kill the people, then you will have to kill everyone. Because everyone in Kali Yuga is like Jagan and Madhav. So, in this way, the pure devotees, they are more merciful than Krishna himself. If you wonder how can somebody be more merciful than Krishna? Krishna is all powerful and he is supreme in everything. How can somebody be more powerful? His more powerful is something like how Yashoda is able to bind Krishna. Is Yashoda more powerful than Krishna? Yes, she is. By the mercy of Krishna. The same way, sometimes devotees are like Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he preached only in India. Prabhupada went and preached all around the world. The Prabhupada is certainly more powerful. By whose mercy? By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, let me give all these places, America, Canada, London, England, Australia, for my few devotees who will later on appear and preach. Let me glorify my devotee and teacher. So he left his lands for Srila Prabhupada to come and preach later. So God, sometimes Krishna empowers his devotees so much that they can even deliver such people there. But Krishna is very strict. If you see, he demands absolute surrender, without which easily one cannot achieve his mercy. But the devotees are actually much, much more merciful. Just like when Indra committed such a great offense to this, offense to Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan. In fact, he added the mother of life to pour so heavily that the animals, the cows will be killed due to that. All the animals started fleeing in all directions. The reason they were running, they took to Krishna for protection. And Krishna lifted the boat until after the rain was stopped, Indra's tribe was completely smashed. Indra realized that I'm nobody in front of Krishna. Then he went for seeking forgiveness, but Krishna would not even turn to him. And Indra would come to Krishna and say, did not even see him. So he went and sat in my chair. So that did come. Some of you came to Vrindavan yesterday. We went to Goja Sukhund, the same place where Vrindavan Sarabhi came to meet the Lord. So, Sarabhi, being a devotee of Krishna, recommended Indra's case to the Lord and said, please kindly come to him. Then Krishna became priest. Krishna is agreeable only to hear his devotee's words. Of course, Indra is not a demon, but at least for that period of time he behaved like a demon, because he was too much materially infatuated. So, devotees of the Lord sometimes are very greatly empowered to give shelter in Krishna's feet, even from such fallen souls. Somebody who is so abominable, who are completely ignorant, caught up in the three modes of material nature. And then, this 30th sloka is a concluding sloka of this section, which we have been reading. Mayi sarvani karmani samyakya adhyatma chetasa nirashe nirmama bhutva vittasya jagata dhyaraha. Lord Krishna says, therefore, Arjuna, surrendering all your words unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires or transit, with no claims of proprietorship, and truth and liberty, right. So here, this is a concluding chapter. Here, after talking about the modes and how one is acting according to the three modes, now Krishna is telling the conclusion chapter. He says, Mayi Sarvani Karmani. See, you have observed in all these previous chapters one thing. And Krishna has been telling Arjuna, leave the past. Always be detached from the truth. But for the first time in this chapter, you will see Krishna saying that you offer all the truth to me. This is a positive aspect. Being merely detached is a neutral aspect. Whereas, by being detached, why do you offer the truth? Gathering to Krishna. So that we say here, Mayi Sarvani Karmani, you offer to do all the activities for me. Sanyasya Adhyatma Chetasa. Adhyatma Chetasa means in full consciousness. That's what explains here. The Supreme Lord is shown at all souls. Therefore, one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul, without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called Adhyatma Chetasa. That's what I explained here. And Nirashir means without any desire for profit. When do you have the desire for profit? When you are in the Tiguna? Rajoguna. When you are in Rajoguna, you are always desiring for profit and gain. Nir Mama means with no claims of proprietorship. Mamata. No claims of proprietorship. This is mine. That means one should consider Krishna to be the owner. That also is, your mama, he says, that also is in mode of passion. So he says, Hirashi Nirmama Bhutva, Yudhyasya, Sait, Vigatajvara. Vigatajvara means free from lethargy. What is lethargy? In which mode is it in? Mode of ignorance. That means here Krishna has said, Hirashi Nirmama, become free from passion. By saying Vigatajvara, he says, become free from ignorance, he says, and then he says, Adhyatma Chetasa. That means, it is not even just goodness, it is transcending goodness, by being situated in pure goodness. And Mayi Sarvani Karmani, actually Adhyatma Chetasa is in goodness. But when you say Mayi Sarvani Karmani, then it becomes pure goodness. That means, if one is situated in goodness, and then begins to offer all the truth to Krishna, he comes to pure goodness. So, very easily one can understand, the previous verse explained that this sort of Krishna is telling how one can transcend the three modes of material nature. Earlier he explained about the three modes, how one is bound. But here, by saying this, he is telling, become free from passion, become free from ignorance, and by being situated in goodness and Adhyatma Chetasa, what you should do? You should offer all your truth to me. In this way, you can transcend all the three modes. That's what Krishna is saying. Mayi Sarvani Karmani. Samyakya Adhyatma Chetasa. Nirashi Nirmama Bhutva. Vittasya look at that girl. So we are finishing from the previous chapter. He says, when surrender all your works unto me, mayi sarvani karmani, then that is added to nishkam karma agarjuna. Then it becomes bhakti yoga. Desire to work done in devotion for Krishna's pleasure. Desire to work done for Krishna's pleasure becomes bhakti yoga. Same thing, nishkam karma yoga. If it is done for Krishna's pleasure, what happens? It becomes bhakti yoga. So understand that. Let's start here. Next week we will continue with the next question. So this is a beautiful quote from Dr. Ray. It says, although Krishna has often requested Arjuna to act on the platform of detachment and duty, he now reveals his actual desire that Arjuna should fight with devotion. At the first time when the Dr. Ray was saying, Krishna has been talking so vaguely about how to become detached. Here he is saying, I don't not only should be detached, but by being said that, you will offer all the food to me. So here it's a positive thing that Krishna says. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Can we differentiate between
temple and Krishna? Yeah. For example, if one is running the order of the spiritual master, by chanting 16 times a day and following four Vedic principles, and then doing that minimum work that is required for one's survival, then one is kind of situated. There is no problem at all. But in every activity that is performed in the day, one has to always discriminate with one's spiritual intelligence, whether it is meant for my self-gratification or it's meant for Krishna service. A simple example, for example, when I come from Mahapur, sometimes I carry very heavy luggage. Sometimes I have only a shoulder bag. I have a bag on shoulder bag. So when I come from, when I get down on the station, it will be around say 9 o'clock. At that time, if you take an auto, it is not the same application. So it's just 9 o'clock, then we are 3 to 9:30. So I might as well walk back to the temple and say, 10 rupees of Krishna. But instead, if I say, oh, I have so much money with me in my drawer, let me just take an auto, then that becomes a luxury. That becomes a same application. But if, on the other hand, if you have a lot of luggage, I'm carrying a lot of books from back, I can't carry it. I cannot walk down to temple with that. Then taking auto is justified. So in this way, a devotee should constantly observe his activities and see whether this is Krishna service or it's meant for my own self-gratification. You should always observe in every activity.
Can I just ask you
something? Okay, ruminate while walking. Like a cow ruminates. Same way, while coming from Bombay to Pune, in Amritsar and Kota, and while going from Pune station to temple, I must add a chapati I can thoroughly revise. Like that I do. Of course, chapati is a special time. They do not afford to waste it. If I am going to walk and I am just thinking of Maya, it's a waste of time. So if the time, I am not confident of using the time for doing Krishna service, and I feel by going to temple I can do it. But generally when I come back from Bombay, nobody allows me to read. People ask me what happened in Bombay and so much stuff. Generally we don't say much time. Go back. Yeah, that is true. And also we should be very careful while discriminating that sometimes mind may give justification also. Anybody can give an example for this? How mind can give justification? That's in first situation. You can think of a good example in the future, right? So one time Raghunath Maharaj was telling an example, of course it was very much kept in Tragar, and one devotee went to see a cinema and he was caught by another devotee. So what are you doing here? In cinema theater. He said, I wanted to know what these materialists are doing so that I can preach to them properly. Sometimes people say we want to read magazines, you know. We want to read that on our You want to read this magazine. Why do you want to be? I just want to know what is going on in the world so that accordingly I can preach to them. How good of preaching. That is actually, you may think you want to preach to them, but you may tell you in my direction. All done. Very careful. So we should know where some gratification is done, where it's the transfer is done.
Because
the mind becomes a result of the interest of Krishna. What is the fact that you do good, that Krishna puts them away to the great moment? The only body is that filled with Krishna. Krishna's body is transcendental, and Krishna is absolutely pure. And anybody who only touches, or anybody who comes across Krishna, they all get liberated. Ignorant men are attached to the roots of their action. So because they are attached to the roots of their action, you can tell them to do the same work and teach them how to offer the fruits to Krishna. There is a final difference between the two
children.
First of all, you say, for example, somebody is working in computer all day, he is working for 15 hours a day, such a person is in passion, and you can direct him to do a lot of work for Krishna for you. Any person like that. So that is 26 shloka. There is 29 shloka, Krishna is talking about a person who is ignorant, who is fully engaged in material activities, and he is covered by the three modes. He is completely into three modes. So here he is saying the wife should not answer to them. Although the duties are inferior due to the performance, lack of knowledge. So the duties, if one is performing in three modes, and one, that in mode of ignorance, one is always lamenting, suffering. So in mode of passion, one is partially happy and partially suffering. In mode of goodness, one is happy. So in this way, a person is ignorantly feeling a sense of happiness or distress and spending his life. So today, do not answer to them because proper experience in the perfect. I have marked certain points here. So here he says, the body is a gift of material nature, and one who is too much attached to bodily consciousness is called a manda, or lazy person without understanding of the spiritual. And then later he explains, under the spell of such resignations, we are always busy in the material field. For them, spiritual realization is a myth, and so they are not interested. Those who are enlightened in spiritual life, however, should not try to agitate such material and God's presence. Let us agitate one's own spiritual activity silently. Such devoted persons may be engaged in such primary moral synthesis of life as land, violence, and similarly, materially benevolent to work. So such engaged persons are of two categories. One is that they don't have faith in any spiritual life. They are engaged in demoniac activities. Or they may be engaged in a superior material activity like non-violence, or like doing some personal activities. If you try to explain to them about Krishna consciousness, they will become offended. You know what is the 9%?
Krishna.
To instruct the faithless about the glory of the heavens. So the 9% is that by going to such wicked people and talking to them about Radha and Krishna, it's really not the only thing, because they will become offenders. And when one becomes offended, he may offend devotees. He may cause harm to devotees. He may even take a killing of devotees. It is very, very dangerous for that living entity. This Madhya Krishna is saying that it is very, very dangerous to treat such people. So they are already there in a degraded condition, they will become further more degraded. Then when you ask them, how can they learn a good lesson, and how can they become devotees? They have to be repeatedly taught in the ways of this material nature, again and again and again. And when one is taught like that, then one gradually gains maturity, that this world is a world of suffering. And when one is so much frustrated, then one may gradually come to that. Then one becomes after Vijnata or Sarthi Jnani. Of course, one doesn't turn to Krishna immediately. One may turn to some so-called spiritualist. be seeing about it more in detail in the next 2 shlokas about those who are of demoniac nature, how they are envying the Supreme Lord. But when you go to some so-called spiritualists, or when you go to some demigods, or when you go to some self-created, manifested incarnation of God, or when you go to such people, again and again they also have to come in a lifetime, ultimately they come to Krishna. They come as Artha, Vidyasa, Artharthi, Jnani, like that. Once they come to Krishna, then they gradually can advance and become a devotee. That is it. But in order to speed up the process of their coming to Krishna, that was explained here in the last 4 lines. Devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. Preparation is the perfect task for them. That is why sometimes somebody may argue, what is this? The people who are contradicting the Shastra. Shastra says something and they are not telling. If you ask the Vaishnava, he will say, if you really want to know what is religion, the real religion is present in the heart of the creative world. It is not even in the scriptures. Dharmasya tatyam, nikitam duhayam, mahajana yena gata sasanta. The real religion is available in the heart of a true devotee, in the life of a true devotee, how you live. From that only, from a living devotee, only one can understand how should one follow the orders of Krishna. Because sometimes the shastras are contradicting. Tarka, pratishtha, satya, vidinna. Krishna here talks so much about God and surrender to God. If you see, Krishna is Buddha. Buddha is an atheist. He was speaking Shunyavad. And if you see, he says Shunyavad, if you see Tarka, Tatapitcha, something else. You see, different incarnations teach different things and one can very much become confused when one reads all these things. But when one looks at the life of a pure devotee, then things become very clear, very easy. One has to simply follow a pure devotee. Following in the footsteps, then one can achieve complete success. The shastras can be confusing. So your proper experience, although in shastra Krishna says, like this, he is telling us not to approach these people because it is due to a risk involved in such teaching. You may hamper the devotee's way. Like for example, if you see Russia, in Russia devotees used to go for distribution of books. Thousands of books used to go. Russia was actually a communist country before. And later on, when communism broke down into pieces, then people were let loose and everyone wanted religion. And when Hare Krishna entered, at the appropriate time, people were so fond of hearing about God. After Srimad Bhagavatam class, there used to be about 800 people in the morning, every day. Krishna took Krishna Bhad Maharaja Salam, Bhakti Krishna Swami. So 800 people used to come for the classes. Every morning, for months together, people used to come like that. The government became very upset. The people, if they go to God, then they become inactive, then they become fabulous. So many are saying of the head person. Government became upright. They wanted Hare Krishna to start teaching. So they would catch the Hare Krishna devotees who would be distributing books and they give them injection. That injection which will make their nerves very, very weak. But I don't know what is the name of this injection, so any doctor is a different idea. The rest become so completely with hands and legs become weak, person completely to rise them for days and months together. They cannot do any activity. It becomes like impotent. They cannot do any activity. Some particular medicine they used to give like that. So, if you want to preach to such demoniac people, it's really risky. And people say even the fall down of one or two brave people in Iskcon was due to the KGB force. KGB force, actually they were always trying to stop our Krishna. They were trying ways and means to somehow ever stop them, such activities. But the good decision is to stop you. They used to have, you know, the 16-wheeler bus, you know, 16-wheeler bus. Like that they had more than hundreds of it. Hundreds of buses booked these days to distribute. So it was terrific, the downpour of mercy. After so much mercy of Krishna, so that the mere force are always there to stop the devotees from the preaching, to pull them down from their standards. So Krishna says it's very risky to preach to them. The devotees are no problem, we will take the risk. Even Kaladasa says something similar. He says in the next lesson, So we are not pure devotees, we are ordinary devotees. But we can give Prabhupada's book and give them a such a pure devotee. By giving that marathon is coming now, that month is marathon month. From today onwards, that month will be having a meeting after this class. So we can distribute these books and give people contact as a pure devotee for reading which they can wonderfully advance Krishna consciousness. Next is the first important, next week we will discuss.